Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
All right, well, the big news is that there were a few more coaching hires in the NFL. We already have had the Dallas Cowboys. They hired Mike McCarthy. And we had had before that, who was the one before that? The first one. I'll get to that in a moment. I'm blanking.
Me too.
But today, you have had Baylor.
Oh, no, coach. The Redskins.
Yeah, the Redskins, right. Ron Rivera, the Redskins. And today you had the Carolina Panthers give a seven-year, $60 million deal to Baylor's Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule's been a good coach. I mean, he turned Baylor around immediately.
He's the golden rule, right?
He's
a good
coach.
Is that the headline in the paper at down in Charlotte? I bet you it is, the golden rule.
It might be. It might be.
Think about that.
It certainly would be on the back page.
It would be on the back page, yes, of the Daily News or the Post.
And speaking of the back page, yes, the New York Giants.
The New York football Giants.
Filled their coaching vacancy with a guy that most people had not heard of. Okay? He's a young cat, 38 years old, was the New England Patriots wide receivers and special teams coach.
What? He wasn't a coordinator?
No. His name is Joe Judge.
I just got one question for you, Chris. Was Judge Judy not available? Come on. Joe Judge, who is that?
I can't tell whether you're serious. You started out joking, and now you're fading into something serious.
No, I'm just playing.
But those are the two coaching hires. And look, I think Matt Rhule is a fine hire. You know, we'll see how he does. All the college coaches that come to the NFL don't excel. But I think he's a good coach. He's been in the NFL on staff. He was with the Giants. So I think Matt Rhule, I'm fine with that. Joe Judge, I know nothing about other than, you know, his positions, that he's on the Bill Belichick coaching staff, and he's part of the Bill Belichick coaching tree.
Which needs water and some fertilizer because it ain't doing that great. They just keep hiring Bill Belichick disciples, and I don't know.
No, you're speaking truth, Rob. Let's face it. Bill Belichick disciples have not done well.
Not at all.
Period.
I don't know why they keep doing it. Matt Patricia in Detroit, terrible the first 2 years. Seriously. Romeo Crennel was bad.
Yep.
And we didn't even bring up Charlie Weiss, who went to Notre Dame, Chris, and flamed out there, right?
Right.
We don't even count him because he's not in the NFL.
Brian Flores is 5-11.
Look at that
in
record.
In Miami. But, look, he actually did a good job this year. So maybe he will turn the tide a little bit and he'll be a good coach for them. But thus far, the Bill Belichick coaching tree has been pretty darn bad, period. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It has not been good, and so there's that. I mean, here are the records for coaches on the Bill Belichick tree. Bill O'Brien's the best. I'll save that for last since he's the best. Matt Patricia, 9-22-1.
Nice, beautiful.
Zero playoffs in 2 years. Brian Flores, again, 5-11, but did a good job with Miami. They didn't make the playoffs.
Jury's
in the
still
year.
Out on him. We
right,
don't know.
The jury is out. Romeo Crennel, 28-55, no playoffs. 4 or 5 years in Cleveland. He got the longest tenure in recent memory in Cleveland, and obviously didn't do well with it. Josh McDaniels, he's a guy that's always on people's lips as another head coach. He might be the one. In Cleveland, they still got
because there's only
hire.
One job left. Yep. Give me his record.
He's 11-17.
And here's the other
no
thing:
no playoffs.
Can I tell you this? The Josh McDaniel, which is mind-boggling. A, he got fired in Denver. Why, Chris? Do you remember?
Cheating.
Yes, he got caught videotaping another team's walkthrough in London when they played a game yep. in London. Number two, He gave the word, his word, to the Colts and left them at the altar. I'm just saying, yet his name keeps coming up for jobs. He did two things that a lot of owners should frown upon.
Right.
Cheating, and you're not a man of your word. You gave me your word. I had a press conference set up, and you didn't show up.
Right, right. I hear you.
How many brothers could do that?
None.
And get another
None.
Job?
You'd
None.
Be done.
You'd be done. You're not a man of your word.
You'd be done. Yep. Eric Mangini, our good friend, our colleague here at FS1, 33-47, made the playoffs once. Mike Vrabel, but he's not a Belichick. He played for Belichick.
He's not on the
side. But he's not a Bill
Belichick.
He wasn't
under
his coaching staff.
Exactly,
right.
No.
He
no.
played there. He's 18-14, obviously, in Tennessee, and has them in the playoffs.
He's doing a good
he's
job.
He's done a good job. And Bill O'Brien, 52-44, four playoffs. O'Brien's okay. He's okay.
He was close, because if they would have lost that game to Buffalo, I'm telling you.
He's like Marvin Lewis.
Right?
I would have fired him. And not because he hasn't done a solid, you got to say it's a solid job. He wins the division.
But you got to get over the hump
right.
at some
He's
point.
He's not the guy to take you to the next level.
Marvin Lewis, for all the time in Cincinnati, he lost. He was 0-7 in playoffs. That's not good enough.
That's where some guys are built to get you to a certain level. And then you need someone else to come and take you over the hump. And that seems to be the case with the Houston Texans. We'll see what happens this weekend.
But the elephant in the room is that the lack of black coaches being hired. Here we go again.
Yep.
And it's a stink.
And they're talking about it all over the league. A lot of the writers are talking about it.
And rightfully so, Chris, because it's very obvious. And you can't have – I always look at it this way. Your pool of coaches, you got a league that's 75% black.
About 70.
70.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're good enough to play, good enough to be coordinators, good enough to be, but not a head coach, man. Something's wrong with that. That's not that there's never been any black head coaches. Because 1 year, what'd they fire? 2 years ago, they fired five or six of them.
Well, look,
right?
You've got 32 teams. There is one black general manager, Ozzie Newsome. Oh, he happens to be one of the best general managers in the league. Okay? And then you've got three black coaches and one other racial minority in Ron Rivera, who's a head coach. So you've got four coaches
out of 32.
Of color out of 32, three black ones, and it's a problem. Eric Bieniemy. Is there any doubt in your mind if Eric Bieniemy was white that he'd be a head
He'd
coach?
Have a job. Look at the success he's had in Kansas City.
He is the offensive coordinator for one of the best offenses
high-powered,
in recent memory.
But you know what they do? They probably give all the credit to who?
Andy Reid.
You know it. Oh, yeah, he's there, but Andy Reid calls the plays. It ain't Eric Bieniemy, and that there's another issue. Even though you could go and look at some of these guys who are getting jobs, Chris, who aren't even coordinators. That's where the Joe Judge comes in. Really?
Right.
Seriously, like.
Right. You're right. He comes out, and that's where, and look, a lot of, we're not NFL reporters, obviously, but a lot of the NFL reporters are giving quotes that they've gotten from people within the league. Here, Josina Anderson, who does a good job over at ESPN, she said an NFL assistant told her this: "We're damned if you do and damned if you don't take these interviews. Just feels like a pacification process instead of a legit process." They're talking about the Rooney Rule.
And here, you know what,
yes,
Chris?
Let me finish.
I'm sorry.
Yes, we just want them to hire the right person, but how is that being defined? Are we even in the pipeline?
And here's the thing. This is why I'm against the Rooney Rule. Get rid of the Rooney Rule, because it's garbage. It's balderdash. It's poppycock. It ain't real. It ain't real. These guys already knew who they were going to hire, and they parade the black coaches past the media like a dog and pony show. Look, our black guy came in. Everybody,
you
right
think
in
Dallas seriously considered Marvin Lewis?
No, not at all. They brought him in for a cup of coffee and a sweet roll to take pictures and let people know we checked the box. Marvin Lewis came to Dallas. They had no intentions of hiring Marvin Lewis. Chris, it's embarrassing and it's wrong. There's no way we should be treated like that. That they were going on some token interviews that don't matter. Years ago when I was in Detroit, Matt Millen was going to hire Steve Mariucci, and it got out. And then the league put a kibosh on and said, no, you can't do it yet until you follow along with the Rooney Rule. You know what he did? He called up all these black guys to come in, and to their credit, none of them went to Detroit to interview with Matt Millen because everybody in the league knew that Steve Mariucci already had the job. And they refused to be a part of a dog and pony show to pacify some damn league rule that isn't doing the job that it was supposed to do. They had to put this rule in effect because at one time, they weren't even interviewing black people. Guys would be, there would be 10 head coaching jobs, Chris, and nobody black got interviewed.
Rob,
nobody.
You just said why, while I agree with your sentiment, that these token interviews are embarrassing and downright wrong.
They are right? wrong.
And if I'm an African-American coach and I know I'm just being brought in to fulfill some Rooney
Rule. To check a box.
I'm not going.
I wouldn't
right?
go
so
either.
I'm with you there. But I do disagree in getting rid of the Rooney Rule. As ineffective as it is at times, I disagree with getting rid of it because you just said it. Before the Rooney Rule, they weren't even interviewing black candidates.
No,
I know three black head coaches is way too low out of 32 teams. But if you didn't have the Rooney Rule, it's possible, I don't know, but it's possible you wouldn't even have those three. Remember last year there was a lot made about Steve Wilks, African-American coach.
1 year.
He fired after 1 year, and a lot of the hires weren't African-Americans, and Miami goes and hires Brian Flores. And it looked at, to a certain degree, it looked like, man, did they just bring him in? There was a lot of hubbub about black coaches like there is today. And he turns out, like at least this year, he did a good job. He certainly was qualified. So my point is, if you didn't have the, as bad as it may be and ineffective at times, it's better than nothing. And I hate to say it that way because that shouldn't be the standard, but it's better than nothing.
Our contributions,
three black coaches is better than no black coaches.
Our contributions to the NFL are monumental. And the idea that we're being used as in a token way.
We're not all being used that way.
I mean, most of them are, and that's why I'm against that rule. Forget the rule.
So
make
you
people,
that,
make
well,
people
so
accountable.
What's the alternative?
I'll give it to you. Players should look at the owners and refuse to play for organizations that won't give minorities opportunities. How about that, Chris?
That's nice.
Hey, I know, but I'm just saying. That's how
we've
you
been
get
saying that for the.
We've been talking about it. That's how you get things
that's
changed.
That's how you could get Colin Kaepernick.
Am I right?
And
take 2 seconds.
He'd be in the league tomorrow. If
2 seconds.
Did that, but yeah, I'd love to see brothers step up and do that.
What do we see?
They're not.
What do we see in Missouri, Chris? When they had the racist thing on campus, you know what the play? These are college kids on scholarship. They
with
said
no
we're
leverage.
Not going to practice. We're not playing in any games until this is corrected. The chancellor and the school president had to step down. And
I agree.
That's what they did. They shut the whole program down, and they got change. You can make a difference.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Oh, my God.
Time now for The Odd Couple Celebrity Corner.
All right, I got to give him props because he had the guts to come
yes.
on after the Patriots took that L. He's an actor, a singer, producer. You see him all over the place. Our man, Donnie Wahlberg.
Donnie!
What's up, man?
I'm here.
There he is. What's up?
What's up, brother? How are you?
I was getting up off the ground because somebody called me Mark Wahlberg. I said, Mark leaves at halftime.
That wasn't
Mark
us.
Mark leaves at halftime. Donnie doesn't leave at halftime.
That was not
That's
us.
You know
that was not us.
That's
that
right.
That was not us.
Hey, I know you've been in tears for the last few days. You all right? You recovered? You all right?
You know, I really haven't been in tears, guys. I got to tell you, I never got on that bandwagon. You know, I'm a diehard Patriots fan, you know
mm-hmm.
that, but I never really got on that hype thing about the team this year. You know, we started off really good and we were 8-0 and everybody was like, they're going to go undefeated.
That was
it was ridiculous. Now, the defense was playing great. There were some weak competition, and I think the defense still played really great throughout the rest of the year. And But there were a lot of turnover. We had a few pick sixes this year that were really the difference in games that, you know, people don't really – I mean, if you look at – there was a pick six, a meaningless one at the end of the Tennessee game. But nonetheless, that was the difference in the game.
Right.
You know, and there was one in the Miami game. And there was one, you know, in the Texans game. So
right.
They really ended up costing us at the end of the day. And it was a consistent theme this year. But I'd never really thought – I really thought that losing David Andrews and losing James Devlin and having a banged up offensive line was really going to hurt the team throughout the year. And I think it did. I think, you know, we could talk about Gronk being gone, but I think the Patriots really suffered by losing those two guys. They were the key to the running game. You know, they were the timing with Andrews and Brady and that camaraderie he had. I think people are underestimating, you know, a lot of the so-called experts. They just say, it was Gronk and no weapons. But that everything changed when Andrews and Devlin went out.
Donnie, I'm glad you went there because my contention is that obviously there's there's all the talk about Tom Brady needs to be gone. He's leaving. He's not going to retire, but he won't be a Patriot next year. I contend this. Get the offensive line healthy, which we would assume it will be next year. Bring in some better weapons on the outside at the receiver position. I think Harry will improve if he's healthy all year. But bring in some better weapons. And I still think, Brady, you're a contender with Brady. I don't think you need to get rid of him. I think at his age, he can no longer carry kind of the average or mediocre talent that he has most of his career. But if you get him top-flight receivers, and obviously, like you said, the offensive line, I think he can still get it done. What's your view on Brady?
I agree. Here's my thoughts. I agree. See, I think, first of all, what I like about you two guys is you guys have strong opinions, but you engage a lot less in gaslighting. Like, it's a lot of the sports shows that are on right now, it's all about gaslighting. And, you know, if you go by the gossip and the rumors, like, Brady was supposed to leave after last year or before last year because Belichick didn't like his trainer and didn't want his trainer on the plane. And what happened? They stayed and they won a Super Bowl. You know, so the gossip and the rumors, you know, the average person reporting on this, and I don't own a $50 million house, so I'm in the same boat, but the average person reporting on Brady putting his house for sale have never sold a $50 million house. Look them up. Regis Philbin's house has been on sale for 5 years in Connecticut for $20 million. Like, people don't buy these houses. If you want to sell one, by the time he retires at 45, he might finally be selling that house. But that said, to answer your question, I think what is different this year, I think Brady will want to come back. I think it's really going to come down to he's not going to be able to get the $30, $40 million contract or whatever the top quarterback is going to be paid, because then he can't get the weapons and the offensive line right to give him what he needs to succeed in New England, right? So that's just not going to work. But I think what'll be different this time is he's going to want a little more input. You know, I think, if I can guess without knowing, I think losing AB not only hurt the team, but I think it hurt him. I think he felt like no matter what AB was going through, it was like he was there. Brady hasn't had a guy like that since Randy Moss. Yeah. And it was like, you know, he needed somebody that could really go deep. Like we saw, you know, Metcalf do this weekend for Seattle. Like, he needed that weapon. And I think when he lost it, I think he probably felt defeated. It was like, this guy he's not going to be Gronk, but he's going to be different than Gronk and give us something different. So I agree, Chris. I think if he stays, he's going to want to have things, there's going to have to be an agreement that he's going to want to really get a guarantee that they're going to retool and give him what he needs to have a chance for success. And if the defense is half as good as this year and they do what's necessary to make the offense right, I think he could definitely thrive and get right back in contention next year and have a chance to win. Now, you got to remember, 3 years in a row they've been to the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, we talk about Cleveland and LeBron gets worn down because he's in the finals every year. Well, doesn't that count in football? Maybe the Patriots are a little worn down at the end of this year for having to play much longer than every other team plays every single season.
That's what I've been telling Rob Parker. The great actor, singer, producer Donnie Wahlberg joining the iCup.
Now, Donnie, you know you're not going to get off that easily. Are you ready for some real interrogation? I already wrote a column at theshadowleague.com. You could go read it. You could go to our podcast from yesterday. Come you can on, go bro. There. Come and on. All I'm Come telling on. You is Tom Brady should retire. It's Tide is on line one. He's washed up, Donnie. Admit it. Last year in the Super Bowl, no touchdowns. What one fumble, one interception.
Wait a minute, this year he stunk.
He's bad. He's washed up. Come on, Donnie, give it to me. You know he's washed.
All right, Rob. The Patriots scored 13 points in the Super Bowl last year. That is true, and they did win the game. Now, you could say they should have scored more, or Brady didn't play great, whatever, whatever. It doesn't matter. They won the game. You know, if you're going to say like Joe Montana is a better player than Brady because he won all the Super Bowls, well, his team only won 20-16 against the Cincinnati Bengals. Is the Cincinnati Bengals defense from whatever year it was that much better than Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh and what the Rams had on the field last year? I don't think so.
No, but the difference is Brady is going to be 43. Look at him, Donnie. Put on your glasses. His arm strength is bad. His accuracy is bad. He's not the same guy. Did you see the video before the season of him and his daughter falling off the cliff? That was a preview of Tom Brady's season. And I want you to know, Donnie, you know what video I'm talking about. And I want you to know, before the season started, I bet Skip Bayless live on Undisputed on national television that the Patriots wouldn't make it to the AFC Championship game. He laughed in my face. He couldn't believe I would make that bet. We're going to the most expensive restaurant in Beverly Hills because I was on it. Through it.
Or one of the most expensive.
Well, it's interesting, Rob. You're screaming at me about something you argued with Skip Bayless about. I'm not going to take up for Skip Bayless right here with you guys because Skip probably also predicted the Cowboys would win the Super Bowl. So I'm not sure.
Yes, you already know that.
He tends to not be that accurate. But here's the thing. I think, we could say Brady fell off the cliff, whatever. Look, they scored 13 points in the Super Bowl last year. He also put up a bunch of points in the two previous games before that. He's put up 500 yards in the Super Bowl before that, you know, and they took an L. So, you know, I'd rather have 13 points and win than 33 points against the Eagles and lose.
Yeah,
all you had to say to Rob. In sports, there's a short menu. Wins and losses.
And the Patriots
I'm totally
lost.
With you. They won
they
last
lost.
Year.
I
Don't
get
take
it.
That Super Bowl away from Brady.
I get it. There's a tit for tat for all of this. You know what I mean? It just is what it is. It's like, yes, you know, the Atlanta Super Bowl, Brady looked terrible for three quarters, and then he put together the best quarter in overtime in history, right? You can judge him off of the first three quarters, or you can say they won the game. As far as we're concerned in New England, we got six rings. Now, you can argue. I think the jury's out, Rob. I'm definitely not going to say Brady fell off the cliff and he's washed up. But I will say we don't know for sure. You know, it's a funny thing. It's a little conundrum because he definitely didn't look like himself this year. There's no question
about
that.
Okay, that's fair because he hasn't.
Okay.
And
he did not look like himself. Now, so I think for me as a Patriots fan and as a Brady fan and as a Belichick fan, the whole nine, I would love to see him come back. I would love to see him have everything he needs around him to succeed and give it one more go. Now, if they get everything he needs and they don't succeed and he doesn't look good, well, there's the answer to the question. But I don't think anybody in New England is going to write him off based on this season with all the things that changed around the offense and what they were dealing with. Now, he was part of the problem. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, they didn't have no receivers and blah, 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 because some of those guys, we've been winning with them.
Thank you.
We've been winning with Edelman. That said,
he could do that. He could do that as a younger guy. I don't think he can do that at 42, though, win with these guys.
Going on 43. Here's the last thing, Donnie. I'll bet you 10 chicken wings and a large Diet Coke that Tom Brady will wind up with the Chargers next year, and he will not, N-O-T, be with the Patriots. You want to take that bet?
No, I have no interest in betting that, because that really has nothing to do with the what we're really talking about is, can the guy still play? So here's the thing. The Chargers, I don't see how he goes to the Chargers unless they're just going to pack up Phillip Rivers' bags and throw him in the trash, you know, a potential Hall of Fame quarterback. You know, I don't know that that's going to happen. So I don't take the Chargers that seriously. I think the really only possible destinations for him, and I got one curveball, but I think the logical ones, if he leaves, would be the Colts, because – you know, they got everything. They got a great D. They got a great offensive line. They got weapons. You know, he worked with Jacoby Brissett before, so if he stays, you know, they have a relationship. Maybe that works somehow. The Bears, probably going to give up on their young quarterback. They got a great D. They have a lot of potential. I don't think he's going to leave the Patriots for either of those teams, though, just for money. He got money. His right. wife's a billionaire. Like, he don't need money. It's not about money at this point, as far as I'm concerned.
All right. It's the
curveball. The curveball.
Right, what's this
Jerry
curveball?
Jones. Why didn't Jerry Jones pay Dak? He's not paying Dak.
Wait.
Would Jerry Jones be crazy enough?
He would be crazy. Not crazy. Crazy. Do you take Brady over Dak at this point?
No, I'm not Jerry Jones.
He should have went after Belichick. That's what he should have done.
Is it possible? I'm putting it out there to you. Is it possible that if they can't, they say we're not going to pay Dak all this money, they try and get a 1 or 2 year run with Brady? I don't know. I'm just trying to think out of the box.
That's
you guys
hot
are saying
that is
you guys
a hot
are
take.
Saying he's going to play in a freaking soccer stadium in LA.
No, they got a brand new stadium they're opening up in Inglewood. We got a brand
Dottie,
new billion
we
dollar
run
stadium.
Our producers
hey,
all over.
Hey,
we
you're
appreciate
the best.
You
you're
taking the
best.
The time, man. We definitely
hey, I
do.
I love you guys.
When, you,
right,
when you come to L.A.,
yes,
come to
come
the, studio.
The studio.
Come on. We'll give you an hour.
I'm coming to the studio for sure. I'll see you guys soon.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
But we're going to take a little hiatus. And I know that my partner, he typically, you know, he only wants to talk about sunshine and
no, I don't.
Petunias and
petunias,
roses and
Rob Parker,
petunia hot pig. Dogs, Chevrolet.
That was Porky Pig's girlfriend's name
pie
was Petunia.
When it comes to baseball, but it's
something's
in the
foul
news.
Going
something's
on.
Foul going on, Rob.
And we're not talking about a foul ball. Baseball's
no.
pretty foul right now, and I'm not happy about it.
All right, so I'm gonna let you vent, but to give the news,
yep. news
the Boston
day.
Reds. Now we know. The Houston Astros
got busted big time
for when they won their championship, right? And now the Boston Red Sox are reportedly cheated, used a video replay room to steal signs from opposing pitchers and catchers during their World Series run in 2018. So two of the last three World Series champions now are accused of cheating in their championship seasons. This is big. I mean, can you imagine, Rob, if it was in the NFL or the NBA,
we've
the
had
two,
cheating.
Two straight champions
right, I get
accused
it.
Of cheating. Now, I guess if you're going to go to the Patriots, obviously,
right?
Their first two titles, the Rams and the Carolina Panthers, swore up and down that they think the Patriots cheated. They couldn't prove it.
Eric Dickerson says
difference.
It all the time that they cheated the
right,
Rams out of that Super Bowl.
Because they knew everything
right.
they were doing. And you saw how close the game was.
Oh, yeah.
But the difference is, and I'm not trying to poo-poo it, but the difference is it was not proven. And this is just a report. And the league and the Red Sox say they're going to investigate it. So we'll get more information, I guess. But it's ugly right now. It's a stain on America's pastime.
No
right?
doubt. And Chris, here's the thing. This isn't a rogue guy or a pitcher or batter or somebody, and they're trying to steal some signs, or at second base and you look in. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or the catcher doesn't cover up his fingers. That's part of the game.
That's part of the game, right.
That's part of the game. When it's organizational and you're using the facilities and you set up cameras like the Astros reportedly did – and now this video replay to steal sign, that's above and beyond. That's where you're messing with the integrity of the game. You know this. It's the hardest thing to do is to hit a baseball. it by knowing what's coming.
You love saying that.
It is. You talk to most people. I mean, I know, I'm an athlete.
I know that's the conventional wisdom.
I'm just saying, if you talk to most athletes, because you just don't know what's coming. It's really hard to hit a baseball.
Yeah, and the fact that if you hit it 33% of the time, you're awesome. You're
right.
A Hall of Famer.
No other sport is that good, that number.
That.
Right.
All you
need to do is get 3 hits out of 10 at-bats, and you're in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
So you failed 7 times. But anyway, longer story is, Chris, this has to stop, and the commissioner, Rob Manfred, this is where I want to see Chris. Here's his moment on the stage. You remember when Bud Selig got all big after the fact of the steroid era and all that, and now he wanted to punish people after the fact. Here it is. You got proof. You got all these investigations going on. How hard are you going to come down on these organizations? How hard? I'm going to tell you how hard I would, Chris. I would ban the general manager. I would ban the team president. I would ban the manager. Anybody
from, they're out of the league.
They're out of the league.
Wow.
If I have evidence, Chris, that you knew what was going on and you were knowingly cheating by setting up cameras and setting up stuff.
Now,
Rose was banned out of the game. You know why? Because when you walk in, you cover baseball, Chris, in Cleveland. When you walk in any clubhouse in America, there's a big sign up there talking about gambling. Am I right?
Right.
The
right.
biggest sign in the room is about to do yep. not gamble because you mess with the integrity of the sport. And the same thing here, you can't have this. And you can't have a commissioner who is going to give them some financial, monetary fine, Chris. That's not
the
good
money
enough.
Is ridiculous. Yeah.
The baseball
$500,000.
These teams got so much money.
Right. Nothing. It's nothing.
Oh, you think I'm crazy?
Well, let me ask you this. Because you, if I recall correctly, you didn't go this far with Belichick and the Patriots.
No, this
banned
is worse.
For okay,
this,
that's what
this
I
to me is worse.
In your view.
Seriously, Chris, because you're talking about when the Astros, they're banging a garbage can, they're blowing whistles. I mean, the Yankees complained about it in the playoffs. Nobody did anything. They didn't think it was anything to it. But all I'm saying is this is like an organizational cheating, like big time. And I'm not saying, like, with the Patriots, they got busted. I would have loved to have seen the tapes. And that's what I always say. Roger Goodell made a big mistake. And he even hurt the Patriots because if we would have saw that tape for ourselves, Chris, maybe.
The only reason they killed it was because
it was
bad.
Am I right?
That otherwise, has to be. Yeah.
Otherwise, you show it
no
to
question.
Us. So
no
they destroyed the tape, so we never got to see them. So we have no choice but to believe that they were bad. And that's why Belichick got fined the largest fine of any NFL coach ever. And in this case, I don't think money is good enough, Chris. There's not a big enough fine. I don't know that some people want them to take the championships away.
That's where
you are.
I would say, and I don't banning for life. That's the nuclear option, right? Manager, team, GM, president. But I like that. Okay, so they're banned for life, but I would take it one step further. You lose the championship.
See?
Because what you're doing it for is to be able to say you won 3 titles, you won 1 World Series title, whatever it is. And if they take that away from you, take that away from your record. I understand it happens in college when they take away, you know, the championships, the banners like Michigan, the Fab Five, you know, they want to erase.
They took them all down, right?
Reggie Bush with his Heisman. We all look at them as champions, or, you know, Fab Five didn't win it. But, you know, we remember their great run. We remember Reggie Bush and his great year. We view him as, you know, that type of player. Here's the difference, though. There's a difference, and most people don't take it away from the college athlete, right? When they strip them of something, an award, a championship, we don't really say they took it away. The reason is because 99 times out of 100, what is the athlete what is the athlete reprimanded for, punished for?
Right.
Taking money from a booster, which, let's be honest, kids, I'm not trying to justify it, But we don't view that as bad as cheating in the game.
No, I get that.
Like,
there's
because
a difference.
Reggie Bush
violated the rules of the NCAA, but
not
it didn't
the
really,
game.
It didn't really affect
you
the game.
You didn't mess
right.
with the
exactly.
integrity of the game.
Integrity.
Like, that doesn't change. That didn't
that's
make
a good point.
Reggie Bush run any differently.
No, that's a good
or
point.
Or catch the ball
or
differently.
Get, or give a disadvantage to the other team
right.
because he took a free pizza
exactly.
or took $100 or whatever
and
it was.
So that's why now in this – the very reason we would celebrate the Astros or the Red Sox, we can't celebrate them for that anymore because
no.
you cheated. Now we don't know if you're the best. And I do think it would be a serious taint and scarlet letter on that franchise.
You don't
so I say take away the championship.
You don't
Why
look
not?
At the Astros the same way, do you? I mean,
no,
they had 3 100-win seasons, Chris. They had an unbelievable team. You remember that?
Right.
And we were like, okay, the Astros did it
they
right.
They had a great run.
They had a great run. And now you look at them and go, well, no wonder they hit the heck out of the ball or whatever. They
coming up clutch all the time.
All the time,
and
right.
And here's the other
how'd
thing.
How'd they beat the Yankees? They walk
right.
off on a run. They might have known what was coming.
No, they may have. And here's the thing, Rob. As much as it tainted a little bit right now, what if MLB came out and said, we are stripping the Astros of their championship, it's erased from the record books? It would put even more of a taint. And I honestly wouldn't really think of them. I it's hard to say because we're not in that situation.
Right.
But I feel right now like I would not look at them as champions.
Now, here's the other part. And here's why I go after the people who were involved, the authority figures, not the players so much. Because if you
no,
come
I
to,
think you're right.
If you come to a player and say, dude, we know what's coming. Dude, you're going to take advantage of that.
Right.
That,
and
they're under right?
Yeah, it's on the decision maker.
Exactly. The people who run the organization.
What are you going to do if they
want to
give it to you?
If they want to give it to you, you're going to be like, no, I'm not going to listen to you tell
right.
me it's a curveball
and your
coming.
Teammates might even look at you like, yo, we trying
right.
to win a championship
exactly.
here.
Exactly. Why aren't you
right.
on board on this? We're trying to help. And I think if you start banning the people in charge when they do this illegal activity, Chris, and cheating – and you tell somebody they're banned from the game?
Would stop it.
That's like dead serious. That's your whole career. Your whole legacy is tainted. There's a lot more that goes with it. People look at you totally different. Oh, yeah, that's Joe Blow, the general who used to be the general manager of the Astros. Remember, he got banned from baseball.
Yep.
They cheated.
Look
that's
at
what people
Shoeless
would say.
Joe Jackson, Pete Rose. To some degree, I mean – he's obviously rebounded incredibly well, Alex Rodriguez, but you still think about that.
No, there's stuff that people will never let go of.
Right.
He never got to the point of a Pete Rose. But Pete Rose, for a lot of people, Chris, who didn't grow up watching him like we did, we saw Charlie
right.
Hustle. We saw him as a player. Most of the millennials or whatever, they just know him
right.
as this old dude who did something.
They don't have any
idea.
They have
no
idea
of what a great
right.
player he was.
Right. You're right. And I've said this for a long time, Rob, with the PEDs. If you banned players, if you're found out to have used PEDs, you're out and your contract is voided. Now, I know sometimes there are false alarms.
Right, you got to be careful about
that.
Right, right,
but if you're 100% certain that this guy used PEDs, if you said you're banned,
see,
it would. I think it would cut it down.
It
I mean,
probably,
how could it not?
Right, it probably would. But here's my other thing. The only reason I push back on the way that they did it, they didn't test everybody during that time, so it's unfair. Like you didn't like
so
I'm just saying.
Make it
I'm
test
just talking
everybody
about,
then.
Right, that's what I mean. If you tested everybody, Chris, and you found 8 or 10 or 12 players, then you could do that.
Right.
But back then, during the steroid era, there were guys who were using it who got away with
it. Oh yeah.
And the only one they looked at is Bonds and Sosa, guys who hit home runs. But there were pitchers. There were guys who were
yep.
hitting 4 home runs a year who were using the juice too.
Well, and what did Jose Canseco say in his book? 80% of the league.
Yes. And I believe. Let me tell you. I believe that the number was higher than people want to believe.
Okay,
I
agree with
that.
You, and I'm going to throw this at you. I believe that this type of cheating we're talking about with the Astros and the Red Sox, I think it's rampant. I think they're not the only two teams doing it. Come on. I mean, are they that brazen?
There was another report with the Blue Jays, I remember a few years ago. They thought they were stealing signs. So you
Man,
might be right. It
I
might be the under.
Is, I think it is like steroids.
Cause
I think there are some here and there that don't do it. But I think for the most part, people are doing it.